What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Under the Microscope, where we break down the art of basketball. I'm Coleman Ayers from By Any Means Basketball.
I'm Yosef Ushak from Value Basketball Skills Training.
So today we have another interesting topic. I think all the topics are interesting in my opinion, but today's a little bit unique because I'm just going to be kind of thinking out loud about something that I kind of randomly thought about earlier today, which is that dancing and basketball are very well correlated in a lot of ways, and not just the surface ways that you would think, but they actually do have a lot of similarities on a more scientific level. So this may seem like a joke to you. I'm being dead ass serious. This is a serious topic that we can actually take and kind of have some serious implications to it. So just bear with me a little bit. It's going to sound like bullshit for maybe a little bit, but I promise you it's going to get serious. So just take this question right here. Think about any hooper you know who can't dance. You probably know a couple here or there, like some longer, lanky guys, like big men, some guys like that. But in general, they're outliers. Like hoopers that can't dance, at least to some extent, are outliers. And that correlation is maybe a coincidence. So if I'm wrong about every single bit of this, I admit it, but there may be some interesting points in how the two are related. So the first thing that my mind went to when I was thinking about this is just the same process of developing a movement library. So dudes who are probably the top guys in the NBA, high school, college, whatever level you want to take, they've been playing basketball since a very young age. Not only basketball, but they've been just moving and teaching their bodies and teaching their brains how to move and how to move in a bunch of different ways. So their cerebellum is very highly developed. That's the part of the brain that really contributes to how detailed our movements are and really fine tunes everything in terms of our movement. They have a very well oiled motor cortex, which just initiates movement. So all this like scientific stuff that I could get into, but basically bottom line, they've been exposed to so many movement patterns by just playing around on or off the court as a kid and up through their teenage years, that nothing new is new to their brain. And when nothing new is new to your brain, pretty much every action comes easier for you. And this is where this idea of motor imitation comes in. And what I mean by that sounds kind of complicated, but just taking something that you see and being able to convert it to yourself and being able to do it yourself, and get your muscles to do it when you see in someone else. So I believe there's been studies where like people can literally watch someone do something and improve that skill in themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a skill. Yeah. Like if we're watching film in basketball, like not as much in a tactical sense, like plays and stuff, but if you're watching somebody do a move, if you watch a player a lot, you're going to notice yourself starting to imitate that player and how you play and how you move, which is interesting. And I think the guys that can do that have an advantage in basketball, and the guys that can do that also have an advantage in how they can literally see someone dance and imitate that dance. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a connection there. And those two things go hand in hand. Like I said, they're central qualities to both of them. And that's the main thing that I thought about. Or not the main thing. That's the first thing that I thought about, is just these guys, the top players, are able to take what they see and do it themselves. And that's really the basis of that. Yeah. Of that.
And it makes you think if like the reverse is true, if like really great dancers could watch a basketball player move in the way he does on a basketball court. And I wonder if they'll be able to pick up the same kind of cues that non-people or people that don't really dance or people don't really like have that physical element to them would be, if they would be able to pick up the same kind of skills that basketball players do.
Right. That's a good point. I don't see any reason why they couldn't, because it's not only the movement imitation, or it's not only the motor imitation, but it's all these other factors. Like another thing that I thought about was just rhythm. Like being able to move your body. Yeah. Being able to move your body like crisply to the right position at the right time is obviously that's big in dancing. Like being able to just like move your body the exact way you want it to at the exact second that you want it to.
Yeah.
And that's also huge in basketball. Like your brain literally needs to tell your body, the exact millisecond to contract and relax your muscles, and to on a more like external note, to plant your foot when you're going for a pull-up, or to plant your foot when you're going for a crossover. Like, you learn these optimal timings a lot better when you're good with rhythm. Mm-hmm. And that's another connection there, is just being able to move your body on time exactly where you want it to, is another thing that's really big in both of these things.
And to take that a little step forward is the how they both need to rely on external cue. Well, yes. With dancing, like, the beat is mainly the thing that you're gonna work with, and like try to get that like body moving and the muscles contracting at the right time according to the beat. But in basketball, it's the same kind of idea, but it's just a lot more, I guess, more difficult in a sense to predict, just because beats are a lot more rhythmic. And like, obviously, like they have like a rhythm and they play back over and over. But in basketball, it's finding that, if you could apply that same kind of situation, basketball, it's just that reaction time to how a defender responds, or how an opportunity presents itself on the court. So it's just kind of like recognizing those external cues just as well as you do in music when you're listening to a beat and dancing to it.
Yeah, and I think as you play more and more basketball, like, the game starts to become more of a rhythm, because you see these patterns, and at that point, it's just like you would hit like a certain dance move on a beat, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's, you're reacting in basketball the same way, as like, you know when your defender's going to shift, and you can make that crisp movement there, and that's really what rhythm comes down to. And if you watch a lot of like guys like James Harden and guys who are really good at like ISO situations, they'll create a rhythm like in their size up or how they're coming down the court. Kyrie will kind of skip down the court sometimes or let that ball hang sometimes. So the thing with that is just that they're creating that rhythm, and then they're kind of taking the situation into their hands. Like, look, I know what you're going to do, and I know when you're going to do it, because I've played so much and I've done this move so much that it's easy for me, because it's just like hitting a dance move on a beat.
Exactly. And then also in training, I've heard many stories about how players train to the beat of the music while they're doing like ball handling drills, where they would like dribble repeatedly to the beat. So it kind of like builds that rhythm within them. And when they're playing without that music, that beat or that rhythm kind of carries over, and then it allows them to play a little bit more freely.
Yeah, for sure. That's one thing I was going to get into a little bit later. I'm going to give, just so you guys know, this isn't all for nothing. I'm going to tell you how you can apply some of these concepts into your own training. So that's definitely something that's facts for sure. Mm-hmm. Another thing is just fluidity. And I think this comes down to like some guys that they just look awkward as hell dancing, like regardless of how good they get at it, they're just going to always look awkward. Like I said, a lot of those guys, like the longer, lankier, like forward centers, and that just comes down to their anthropology. Like, they have longer levers, and in other words, they have longer limbs, like arms. I didn't know if you guys knew what that meant on a scientific level, but they have longer limbs and short, and that's gonna make it harder. But a lot of these guys that are like guards, shooting guards, even up to the small forward, they have really ideal like limb lengths, and to the point where like everything's gonna look fluid that they're doing, just because their kind of genetic makeup is just in the right way. Like they're built in a very optimal way to move in any way. So if you're moving the right way on a basketball court, if you look good the way you're moving on a basketball court, just not even just how long your arms or legs are, but also your mobility, like the way your muscles contract and relax, that's gonna easily transfer over to dancing, because it's just, there's movement is a ton of things, but it comes down to one thing, and that's how you move your body. And if your body's optimized to move, it's going to be optimized to move in another area too. So that's definitely something to consider. Just
and on top of that, with the fluidity point, one thing that like I used to struggle with back in like in high school was my hip movement, or like my hip fluidity. So I figured it out through, and back then, like, if a lot of my friends can tell you that I was probably like the worst dancer in the group of friends. Like I hated dancing. It's like, it's still one of my least favorite things to do, honestly. But one thing I learned back then was I was doing like ladder drills with my boy that plays at Temple now, and then he was saying my hips are too stiff, and then he was like, you need to learn how to like open up your hips and then get explode out of the gate a little bit more. So then I started applying that and like learning that when I'm dancing, I like notice that my hips are actually too stiff.
Yeah.
So, like, when I try to like work around that, like getting like loosen my hips up, it made dancing a lot easier. And then also on top of that made back. Yeah, bro.
That boy came down to Miami and learned how to sauce it.
Yeah. No, for real. But then then when I learned how to like engage my hips and unlock a new movement, kind of basically. The basketball, it also opened doors in basketball also, like making crossovers or leaning on my leg to shift one direction or to shift in the other got a lot easier to do once I learned how to engage those hips. So what started out as bad dancing led to me becoming a better basketball player.
No, like this sounds like it's bullshit, but it's not. And like a lot of players, like I've heard Kemba Walker talk pretty in depth about how like literally just dancing as a kid. Made him into such a fluid ball handler, and obviously Kemba is one of the most fluid ball handlers that you'll see. Like probably the most. More Kyrie's up there, but even he's kind of like a little bit herky jerky, whatever sometimes. But Kemba, like I can't remember exactly what players have said.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I think it was like low key Kobe. I think Kobe did
may have said it too.
Ballet.
Yes. Yeah. Kobe did. You looked it up?
Yeah, Kobe's former. Kobe also did tap dance when he was a youngin, but he also did ballet. I think tap dance is one of the ones that like translate the best though, just cause like that footwork. I think that's why it's crazy that Kobe's footwork is one of the best in the NBA.
Again, correlation again, and I think the last kind of ingredient to this is just creativity. And then there's also one thing I'll talk about that kind of goes off of this, but just being able to, like, if you see dudes dancing, like, they're not just doing the same shit over and over again. Like, the ones that are really, like, able to kind of get, like, a crowd around them and dance and get that energy, like, they're very creative. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing in basketball where you have to be creative and on the dot, too. Like, you have to adjust your movements. You have to really fine-tune everything. You have to take everything in consideration. And you have to kind of take the energy that you're getting externally and bring it internally and kind of output that. And I think, and like what I was going to say is, coming off this is that guys who are dancing aren't just dancing in front of like one person and just kind of like doing it for no reason. Like they'll generally have like a big crowd around them. They're feeding off the energy and it's kind of a psychological aspect there where, just like basketball game, you get into a game, the crowd is around you, you're feeding off the energy there. Mm-hmm. That's, again, another transfer, and this is more on like the mental side where you're learning to take external energy and just and run with it and learn to thrive in those environments, even if it's like a group of like 15 people at a party just like, you know, yelling around you or whatever the hell they're doing. But either way, that kind of energy, creativity, I could definitely see that transferring or at least correlating with the people who are good at one, basketball or dancing, being good at the other.
And I just found a quick thing on the internet. It said when I was looking up players that have trained through dancing, and it says many players do this, and either way, the player's ability to execute through mistakes or adversity in a fluent manner becomes heightened the more familiar with their body they become. And the incorporation of dance's fundamentals into drills and routine can accelerate that process.
Wow. that's literally what we're trying to describe in this entire podcast. Yeah.
We're about to have our training session. We're going to have guys warming up with some dance moves.
Nah, for real. Turn that music on. Yeah. That kind of sums up everything that we've talked about in like a more broad sense. And I think some of the practical applications, first one I would say is turn some music on when you're especially like in ball handling drills, some more rhythmic ones, turn some music on and just dribble to it. Like I remember I was back probably in middle school, even I would turn on some music and try to dribble with every word. And like sometimes those words would be more spread apart, so I would have to adjust and have the ball hit the ground when it was like I would have to hang the ball a little bit more. Sometimes they were like rapid, I don't know who I'd be listening to. Yeah, exactly. But they'd be rapping fast. Like I'd be listening to somebody that's just rapping fast as hell, and like I have to really tap the ball and make it move fast. So it's just like that reactive component, the rhythm, like adjusting, and kind of working through that adversity, like the excerpt said. Mm-hmm. And also kind of one thing that I really found a lot of value in, and I know a lot of other people have just anecdotally, is just turning on some music that makes you want to dance and then just freestyle dribbling to it. Or even freestyle dribbling in general, is just, it really helps that creativity and it kind of breeds this rhythm in terms of ball handling that's unmatched. And you kind of need it to play in basketball, because once you really get into that kind of freestyle or that creative mindset when you're dribbling, that's what's going to help take your mind off of it. And that's what's going to kind of shift that to be like a subconscious skill, rather than like thinking about like, all right, I got to do 3 pounds and then 2 between the legs and a behind. Like, all that has value because we're developing the more physical qualities. But once you want to start converting that to in game, that's when freestyle dribbling comes in a ton. And doing that to music can probably accelerate that process. Like, mm-hmm. obviously there's not much research on it, if any, because it's a very specific concept, but that process is definitely, like, freestyle dribbling to music is, if you do it, you'll feel exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you just feel a lot more loose than if you're just kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, just doing moves. You'll get more creative, all this stuff.
And you just feel like a better ball handler, like, completing, like, a whole verse, and then you got every dribble on beat. It just feels, just feels very rewarding. It's like you just, like, rapped along the whole verse with the rapper for a...
Yeah, and then when you're doing that, guess what you're not doing? You're not thinking about what moves you're doing.
Exactly.
So if you're just kind of focusing on the music, mm-hmm. and kind of almost like dancing with the ball, you're not thinking about mm-hmm. controlling the ball. You're thinking about what you're doing, or you're thinking about something completely off topic, which is going to help that be subconscious in the game, and it's going to lead to more transfer. So mm-hmm. that's big right there. Another thing is film yourself. So the more you see yourself play, the more your mind is going to literally just subconsciously notice ways that you can improve your fluidity and your moves. Like, even if you're not noticing it, if you watch yourself do, like, say, a step back, just because it's such an easy example, mm-hmm. you watch yourself do a step back, and then you watch, like, Damian Lillard do a step back, and you watch both those over and over again, your body, your mind is going to self-organize your body. Yeah. To do it the optimal way and in the most fluid way, simply off of just watching both of those over and over again and having two of those compared in your mind, consciously, subconsciously, you can work on it. You don't necessarily have to work on it, but just film yourself, see what you look like, watch other players, and then let your mind kind of do that self-organization and mm-hmm. creativity, that creative work in itself.
Yeah, and then on our skill acquisition podcast, that's that step one that we were talking about in any skill acquisition, just observing mm-hmm. and watching whatever movement you're about to learn. So it's the same process that's applied to everything.
For sure, you got to know what you're doing, what you're supposed to do, how you can improve that mm-hmm. before you can improve it. Just like literally, just like a logical like
foundation for it.
One thing I would say is just enjoy basketball. Like, a lot of players I see, I was personally like this in high school, are just too uptight mm-hmm. to the point where they're not like just letting themselves go. Like, it's kind of hard to explain when you're not on the court.
Yeah.
But some guys just like are so caught up. Like, every workout has to be like down to that like very technical focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big believer in just letting yourself hoop sometimes. And mm-hmm. if you think Kyrie Irving or Kemba, like we were talking about, some of the best ball handlers in the game got better at ball handling just by doing like continuous, like repetitive, like really focusing on every single move. Ball handling mm-hmm. drills, that's just not true. Yeah. They didn't. Most of theirs were just dribbling for hours and hours, like literally just walking around, dribbling the ball, just coming up with new things, watching players that they looked up to. And if you're not enjoying basketball to the point where you can't do that, then you're not going to be as fluid. You're not going to be as, like, you're not going to have that aspect of rhythm. You're not going to be able to kind of take that parallel between dancing and basketball. So that's definitely something that came to mind. And then the last thing I will say, actually, I want to say two more things. One is when you're working in the weight room or on your agility, make everything rhythmic and like cyclical. So if you're doing like plyometrics, let's say that. So you're doing some bounds. Those are way better than doing, if you're doing continuous bounds, that's way better than two bounds, stop, take a couple steps, two bounds, stop, take a couple steps. Like pogo hops, just like 10, 12 reps of those are going to be way better than doing a counter movement jump, landing, sticking the landing, waiting a couple seconds, doing it again. Obviously, you have to build up to that, but the quicker or the more you can do these cyclical exercises, the more your body develops that timing and that internal rhythm. And it comes down to basketball, too. Like we were saying, do it to music, find that beat, and then just get on that beat and get loose with it. And that's big both on the basketball court and in the weight room or when your agility work or whatever that can apply to. And then the last thing I'll say is just have confidence in yourself. Like, we all know, like, the dude who'll be at the party and you look like to the side of your eye and you catch him dancing a little bit, you'd be like, ah, and like everyone gets around him, but he's like, nah. Like, you gotta embrace those situations. It's the same thing in basketball. Like, you have to know that if you get in front of a crowd, you're gonna fuck that shit up, because that's the only, if you work on all this stuff and you get out in front of a crowd and you can't do it, there's no point of doing it. You're gonna be the best one-on-one player in the world, but when you get out on that court and you got a crowd around you and you're ready to make your money and you can't do that same stuff because the energy is too much for you, or you're scared to perform around other people. And I know that feeling. I've been in those shoes. It's almost useless to continue working on your game if you're gonna succumb to those situations. So that's the big thing for me, is just, and I think a lot of that comes from just starting early. Just like, starting early is moving. So if you're listening to this and you have kids, like, just get them moving early. It doesn't have to be with the basketball. Most motor patterns, I believe, are kind of ingrained in us before the age of 14, I think. And get them moving early, kind of expose them to a big movement library, let them do whatever, play soccer, basketball, baseball, football, dance, like, just turn music on, have them dance, like, literally anything. And once you are doing that for so many years, you're gonna develop that self-confidence.
And so for those of you that like didn't start as early, like for example, don't be discouraged to just start at wherever you're at right now. Like, wherever you start now is better than nothing. So
exactly,
come to it.
And I mean, no, we've all heard of like the player that started playing basketball at 16, 17, and now they're in the NBA. So, like, exactly. Like, and Giannis is a fluid player. Like, obviously, his ball handling stuff isn't fluid as KD, but that also comes down to his anthropometrics, and he has extremely long, like, arms, legs, even more so than KD. So, definitely, like Joseph said, don't get discouraged. Like, you can always start to do this stuff later in your life. It just comes down to taking these tips and doing everything else you can to really optimize your training. But those are my thoughts on that. Hopefully you guys didn't think it was complete bullshit and you could kind of see a parallel between the two. You got anything else?
Yeah, for everybody that's doing our at-home academy, a lot of our workouts are, I think there's pretty much every day with the ball handling, there's a component where we do a freestyle component at the end of the workout. So instead of just doing that to the freestyle, but whatever you guys are doing it, we want to challenge you guys to do it through music and then see if you guys can have it going, see if you guys can develop that rhythm and feel what we're talking about when you play music while you're doing that freestyle. And if you could incorporate it that way, that would be the most ideal way to do it. And then we do that, I think, like 3 or 4 times out of every 4 workouts. So it'll be a great way for you guys to instill that and practice that and ingrain it in your system. And on top of that, with the plyometrics that you were talking about earlier, when you're talking about how bounds would be a great way, and then obviously you're gonna have to progress to it if you don't have it. Another way to like progress is still using that music, and then like instead of like jumping as high as you can for each beat, maybe you take like a a shorter leap, or a shorter, like, a, if you're doing pogos, you take like quick little,
like 70%,
ankle, yeah, or like ankle taps, like just bouncing on the ground like lightly, yeah, and then exploding on the third one, like every three you just explode high as you can to develop that, like that, so you just don't have to completely stop and to keep that cyclical workout routine going.
So I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all the thoughts I have on that.
Yeah,
so like I said, hope you guys can kind of take some of this and apply it into your own workouts, your own games, your own life. Mm-hmm. And let us know what you think, because I know people will definitely have some questions or discussions about this. So mm-hmm. I'd love to hear those, as always. If you have any ideas for topics, if you have questions that you want us to answer, let us know. Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll put both of our Instagrams in the description, and DM us and we'll get them answered, or we'll start a conversation with you. Always love to, because you guys could definitely teach us
100%
a lot.
So a lot more of you guys than there is of us, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So there's just like mathematically more that you guys can teach us than
yeah.
teach you. So definitely hit us up. We're here, we're bored as hell probably during quarantine,
yeah.
So we got a little bit more time than normal, but thank you guys for tuning in, as always. We're going to have a lot more coming soon. We're trying to get out like a couple of weeks, so hopefully we can stay on, or yeah, not even hopefully, we will stay on that track.
Yeah, yeah.
So stay tuned for a lot more.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you guys for tuning in, as always. Hope everyone stays safe.
Yep, yep. Everybody hold it down. Stay safe.
Yes, sir.